Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein. We're going to have a very exciting show today.
You must have a surprise for me.
No, I just felt like, saying that. That's what a lot of people say.
I thought you were going to pull something out of the hat, rabbit out of the hat, whatever. No. But anyway,
I have my hat on, but
it is Saturday, February 11th, 2017, 10:04 in the morning. And we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520, at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, then the show will be on after the sporting event. The show is also available live streaming every Saturday morning from 10 to 11, and you can go to our website sapriston.com, sapriston.com, and you can get the show there on most devices that connect to the internet. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived, so if you miss a show, you want to replay a show, the show is there to be picked up. Usually it's up pretty early over the weekend, I guess, the replay's available. And also, finally, last but not least, there is a free economic report every week by Stone and McCarthy. Short, to the point, understandable.
Yeah, it's up early, too.
For economists, they write understandably.
But they talk out of both sides of their mouths.
That's what the whole world does, when it really comes down to it. You cannot believe anything. You have to investigate everything.
Yes, do your own research.
A matter of fact, the phone numbers to call, you can't even believe that we are having phone problems again in terms of rollover of the lines.
Nobody listens.
So the two main lines to call are 803-1520 and 803-1536. Once again, 803-1520 or 803-1536. So if one number is busy, try the other number. And we also have three other numbers for you, 803-0321. 803-0323, 803-0324. And if anybody in the world uses an 800 number again, we do have an 800 number.
There you go.
It's 800-879-7541. That's 800-879-7541. All of the phone lines are wide open, as they usually are, first thing in the morning. So if you do want to give us a call and get something answered that we can take a little bit of time on rather than rush at the end of the show, please call us early.
Yeah,
so once again, the main numbers are 803-15. You were interrupting me again.
Take your time. We have plenty of time. Want to hear all our comments.
803-15-20 or 803-15-36. Well, I'll just threaten to be political, talk about immigration, talk about a lot of other things that we could talk about, you know, no question about
Meanwhile,
that.
My phone's ringing, your computer's beeping.
Everything's going.
It's
wild.
One of those days.
Maybe Mercury's in retrograde. You know, when Mercury's in retrograde, all the world's communications are fouled
You're
up.
You're taking me
and
back
then somebody
to my college days.
Told me it was a lunar eclipse last night, I guess, supposedly. Not that you can see it in Buffalo, because it's always cloudy at night in Buffalo.
I know it was a full moon a couple nights ago.
Was it? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, somebody told me it was a lunar eclipse. I don't know how true that is. So if you don't want
it
must not be true, right? But it was on CNN, so it must be true.
There you go.
All right, so there you go.
Oh, boy.
Give us a call, 803-1520 or 803-1536. Another good week in the market. The Trump rally continues. And it was interesting. I remember a long time ago somebody called and tried to tell me, you know, how great, you know, Obama did for the market because the market tripled, you know. And I remember saying it wasn't Obama, it was the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve lowered interest rates tremendously, and that's what made it, had, you know, was the liquidity that was put into the market. It had nothing to do with Obama. The Trump rally really has to do with Trump in terms of what they think he's going to do for the economy. And that's why, you know, whether that'll happen or not is another question, but the market believes it right
now. The bigger question is, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
I don't know. You tell me.
Chicken.
I've never heard the answer to that one.
The chicken came first.
God created an egg, and then the chicken came out. Didn't you hear that story?
Nope.
I read that someplace on the internet.
It was a good week
in the market. The Dow was up 1%. The S&P was up 0.8%. And the NASDAQ was up 1.2%. And the NASDAQ is really leading the market this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now for the year, the Dow is up 2.56%, the S&P is up 3.45%, and the NASDAQ's up 6.52%, NASDAQ 100. So if you invested in the QQQ, you'd be up 7.46% for the year. So, you know, so far the market just keeps going along, defying everybody and everything.
Now, you know this is like last year, right?
No, last year the market was down 10%.
No, I'm just saying. No. What do you mean?
End of January.
I'm just saying, as far as the NASDAQ running ahead, then it ended up not being, interesting.
That's when they raised interest rates, and then all of a sudden people ran out of the growth stories all of a sudden. But they came back again, see?
It all comes back to the Federal Reserve.
And matter of fact, you know, the Federal Reserve that said they were going to have, what, 3 interest rate rises this
four.
Year?
They said four.
Yeah. The Federal Funds Futures market is betting on 2.
Oh, I think it's going to be 1 if that. The economy's not that strong.
But, you know, it looks, you know, pretty certain, if there's any certainty in the world, there will be none in March. So they're betting the earliest would be June, maybe September, you know, so we shall see.
Right. Depends on the economy.
But the bottom line is, who cares? It's irrelevant.
Jobs.
Who cares?
Jobs.
You know,
it's about.
Knowing things about the Federal Reserve and so forth, you know, trying to guess about what the Federal, it doesn't help you at all, you know.
Jobs.
So, yeah. Jobs,
not
what?
Steve
Jobs?
No, the economy is about jobs.
He spoke
it's
to
not
me
about
last
the market.
Night, you know? Give us a call. Phone lines are wide open, 803-1520, 803-1536. Hey,
okay.
if I really start going,
oh, no.
We're
going
to go first to Bob in Buffalo. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
How are you?
Hey, I called to see if I could get through.
Well, that was good. We appreciate that.
No problem whatsoever.
Yeah, because we could say it's not that no one listens to the show. We can blame the phone lines. You know?
I was wondering, which God were you talking about?
That's a good question. You know, matter of fact, I've got all hour here, and I will discuss religion and belief in God and people's beliefs in general if they're interested. You know, so
nobody's interested.
But a matter of fact, I heard a very good thing. I watched this show, which I originally didn't watch. Ever see this show, Lucifer?
I try to watch it a couple times. But
okay,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But anyway, you know, it's about the devil. You know, getting tired of being in hell, so he goes to Los Angeles, which I guess
went to Washington.
Is another hell. I was just going to say
that. Right. Well, Earth is hell. In case
right.
You didn't know.
But anyway, there was a line in there, you know, that you know he's talking to one of the medical examiners, and I guess he asked the medical examiner if she believed in God, and I forgot the whole answer, but she had a great line which said, "If you don't question your beliefs, you don't have a belief."
Oh, I like that.
You like that?
Yeah. And there's also something I used to say all the time. when it come up, anyways. In the middle of the word believe is the word lie.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, and you know, and people don't understand things like that. You know, what they don't realize is what you're really saying is, you know, you grow up, you get stuff pounded into you by your parents, by your schools, by
government,
the media, by everybody. You didn't come up with those beliefs.
No.
You know, they were pounded into your head, so now you think it's a belief, but you never questioned it.
Well, you think it's true.
Yep, yep.
But
anyway.
You learn, when you get to be my age, you find out nothing is true.
Well, there are no one absolute truth I can tell you is we will die. You know?
Well, over coffee, I could debate you about that.
Okay. But anyway, back to financial matters.
Yes. GSS.
GSS.
You told me if it breaks 96, it could go to its last high, I think. That was a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
I think it closed around a dollar.
Yeah, holy cow, that is nice.
And you guys are technical. I'm not technical. I just kind of like throw darts at stuff.
Peter's technical.
I'm technical. And I was reading a couple of great books. You know, it's called The Way of the Turtle. You know, The Turtle Traders. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Okay.
And another one that kind of disputed the guy who wrote The Way of the Turtle, saying that he ended up losing a lot of money in the end, but that happens to a lot of the traders. But and then there was a book by Michael Covell, you know, which was The Complete Turtles, all right?
the Complete Turtle Trader.
But anyway, both of them, you know, point out, you know, that Richard Dennis's philosophy don't believe in fundamentals, okay?
Okay.
Right. You know, in other words, it's price action only that tells you things. And, and he's a brilliant guy. And he says, you know, you can't possibly think you can analyze the fundamentals and understand everything that's going on, you know. But anyway, despite all of that, I go by support and resistance, you know.
Right.
And support and resistance is based on human psychology in price action, you know, and a certain level set up as support and resistance. So after all of that, the next target is $1.13. So there
you
go.
Bad. Yeah, because that's a stock I bought at 17 cents.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy.
So
why didn't you put all your money in that? No.
Well,
I'm not allowed to say that, you know, but you know you never do that.
First of all, I don't have a lot of money.
Right.
Second of all, that was then and now is now. I could have, well, actually, it did go down to 14 cents. But how do you know these things?
Well, I like that line, you know, once again, to be maybe somewhat political. That was then and this is now. That's what I tell everybody about immigration. That was then, this is now. But anyway.
So we have something in common.
Exactly.
We'll have to have coffee and talk about.
We should, no question
we'll talk about
it. So people can save themselves from all of this philosophy by giving us a call. But yeah, you know, $1.13 could be the next target. Looks nice in there.
Oh, that's pretty.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much.
And how about that stock we never talk about anymore?
Well, you know, I have a theory about that.
Right. I want to hear it.
When I originally called you about that, I said that Sprott. Or whatever his name is.
Right, yeah, Sprott, yeah.
He bought over 12 million shares.
Mm-hmm.
When I did some research on it, I looked a little more in depth. About a month ago, it claimed he only had 3-point-some million shares left.
Uh-oh.
So my guess is he worked that over, but I mean, I could be absolutely wrong or absolutely right. I don't know. If it's possible to be absolutely anything.
It isn't, really. We've learned that in life, that's for sure.
And it just kind of died around $3.
Yeah, it kind of did. You know, kind of did.
You know, now it's like all the other stocks I've owned. It goes up 2 cents, and it goes down 5 cents, and it goes up 3 cents.
Well, it's interesting, though, because I think it closed at, what, 328, didn't it?
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, then it bounced again.
So, you know, next resistance is 350. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was going to buy back into it if it hit the 250 range again, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, yeah, that might not get the 250. I was looking at 275.
Oh, you're looking too, huh?
Yeah, I was looking at 275.
Yeah.
With my fun money. You know, we do not do this in the brokerage firm.
Yeah, so this is not
for clients, right? Yeah. This is just fun money. You know,
this is recommended like going to the casino.
Exactly.
And always play the slot machines closest to the door.
That's a good policy.
And when you win your $200, just get the hell out of there.
That's it. Take your money and run.
Exactly.
Take your money and run.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
Okay, thanks for the call. Well, at least you told us there's one phone line working. We appreciate it.
Yeah, that was the main one.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Take care, bye.
Take care. Okay, the phone line's the call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520 or 803-1536. Those are the two main numbers for now. Or you can call 803-0321, 803-0323, or 803-0324. And we do have an 800 number, 879-7541. That's 800-879-7541. And it's interesting, you know, I always tell people, I kind of said at the end of the show, you know, always focus on sectors first if you're a stock buyer, you know, and try to buy stocks that are in the stronger sectors. And it's interesting that, you know, this year, technology is the leading sector of the major S&P sector ETFs, you know, that are measured by the S&P sector ETFs. That's up 6.1% for the year. So, you know, as measured against the S&P, which I think I said was up 2.56%, technology's outperforming. Semiconductors, which had a heck of a year last year, think up about 37%, are right up there again, up 5.2%. Consumer discretionary is staying right up top too, you know, up 5.3% really. So, you know, those sectors that have been strong so far this year are continuing to be strong. So you should look for, you know, if you want to pick individual stocks, try to pick individual stocks in those sectors that are acting well. And, you know, you're further ahead of the game because you're putting the odds in your favor. A lot of people like to be bottom fishers, you know, they want to find the bargain. And if you can do it, fine. You know, like I say, do what works for you, you know, but, whatever it is, you know.
But you've got to put the work in.
Well, in whatever you do,
right?
If I'm a technical analyst, I got to put the work in, right?
Takes time.
And that takes time, you know. And
that's what everybody's doing instead of calling.
Yeah, they're back there putting time in, right?
There you go.
So yeah,
no, because everybody wants the bargain, including ourselves. You know, when something, you know, you go to the store and something's $10, you wish you could get it for $5. And
yeah, I remember, you know, quite a while ago, everybody keeps trying to buy Gilead, and you see what keeps happening to that stock. You know, that
down,
that was a buy, just down.
Because it's got a story, too.
Yeah, but, you know, and they're looking for bargains in that, and I'm sure a lot of people have gotten hurt. And I guess it was down to, what, 66, you know, this
week. Got one client that owns, I think
really?
Started at 106 buying it and just...
Won't give up.
Well, he's sort of giving up now. But I think he owns 600-700 shares and, you know, maybe owns it at $90. He's still, you know,
although,
he's not even,
you know,
up to terrible.
Interesting, this week's Barron's tried to paint a little bit of a bullish picture for it now, saying that you know, they're going to have an increase in earnings, you know, not gigantic, but they should have, you know, double-digit earnings increases in following years, whether that's true or not. That's the fundamentals, if you want to believe that. But the
that's a planted story.
Yeah, but is that what it is? No, and nobody plans stories, you know.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, you know, so be careful when you're trying the bargain hunt, you know.
Well, here's something that closed at 66.36.
Oh, really?
There's three sixes. So.
Well, that, yeah. Remember when I said, you know, the market got down to what?
666. It was the S&P. Remember the guy on CNBC?
And I remember GE bottomed at 6.66, you know.
So, Nero. It's all about Nero.
We're getting, you know, way afield there, you know. But anyway, and that's supposed to be what, the mark of the beast, whatever 666 is? I don't know.
No, it's supposedly the. Or a lot of people think it's a devil. It's actually Nero. Nero.
Yeah, exactly. So, but interesting, whatever it is. But it was kind of fascinating that that's what the S&P bottomed at, was 666. So right now, the market's hit all-time highs. You know, Dow's at an all-time high, 20,269. NASDAQ at an all-time high, 5,734. And the S&P, all-time high, all confirming each other.
Okay, let's go home.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
it's
it.
Easy. The market's just going up and up and up and up.
Piece
you know,
of cake.
No question. So that's why everybody's not calling, because they're all making tons of money and not concerned about anything.
There's nothing to bottom fish.
So I
can
understand
that. There's
no
more bottom stocks anymore.
No question about it, so... you know, we haven't even heard from Jason in a long time, you know, which is kind of interesting.
He's probably on vacation.
But, you know, Barron's was talking this weekend about the what they're calling the iPhone X, the next iPhone coming out. And it's going to have 3D sensing in it. Okay.
Awesome, whatever that is.
Well, 3D sensing is where...
I still understand 3D printing.
Where you can have this laser thing in the camera.
It's a technical term.
And you can actually, if you wanted to do facial recognition, it could do a 3D facial recognition of you. Okay. Second of all, you can actually start, doing things like designing things with your phone. You know, so you're laughing, but this is the big thing
I'm just thinking in the background, this is coming from the person that doesn't have a cell phone. So,
well, I agree. Okay. But I'm just saying people are just going to be running around lasering you all over the place. It isn't that exciting.
Flash Gordon.
Give us a call, 803-1520 or 803-1536. But they did mention, four stocks that might benefit that supply the laser, and the 3D technology. Actually, they say there's a phone out there by Lenovo, which they call a very clumsy phone that's already got some 3D sensing in it. But there's a company called Lumentum, symbol LITE. I think the stock was up 34% last week. Infineon, INFN, Finisar, FNSR.
Pretty soon you'll see when you go to that store where you buy all your yoga clothes, they're going to have a special non-laser suit that you put on so people can't laser you. That's the next one.
Well, maybe they can use the iPhone at the airport, so. We're going to go next to Vic in Venice, Florida.
On the way
Florida.
In or out when they deport you.
No comment. Vic in Venice, Florida. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. I thought I'd save you guys from
each other.
We appreciate it.
First of all, I don't know if you mentioned the Fed a few seconds ago. Mm-hmm. I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal that the Fed governor that's in charge of banking oversight is resigning in April.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fake news, but...
And looks like that could have a major impact.
Hmm. Sure. Well, I think he sees a handwriting on the wall regarding regulations. And he came in... Was it a year before the meltdown, the financial meltdown, or right after? I can't remember. But, yeah, he's been the basically enforcer when it comes to the regulations, and he is retiring. Yeah, so the president will have I'm pretty sure that's an appointed position and that they have the ability to make that. So it'll be interesting. Finally, he's been a critic of the Fed, so like Greco, so he'll have his opportunity to appoint somebody.
Yeah, there's some major things happening. They're talking about possibly getting rid of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and that would be something. I don't know if they can do that without Congress's legislation, but I know they're making changes to Dodd-Frank, but if they got rid of that, that would have a major impact, too.
So. Right. I mean, both sides could use the extremes. So I don't think they would just eliminate something like that because, there are some positive things that come out of it. But like in any government agency, there's a ton of fat in it and waste. And I think that's probably what they're more interested in looking at. Not that I know personally, I don't have any knowledge of that, but I would think they'd be looking at.
Well, it was interesting because, somebody called about what I thought about the, pause of that fiduciary rule.
Right.
Last week. But it's interesting, that someone wrote in Barron's this weekend, he said, and as I was trying to explain, they made it so messy. The rule, okay, where they badly affected the business, they badly affected everything, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And what he's saying is a rule has existed forever for registered investment advisors, not for brokerage firms, all right? And it's called the Investment Advisors Act of 1940, all right?
Right.
And he says, the Investment Advisors Act of 1940, basically says simply that advisors have a duty of care to put investors' interests ahead of their own, and a second and equal duty to avoid conflicts of interest and where conflicts exist to disclose them in writing to their clients, all right? Mm-hmm. And what he's saying, that rule should be the rule that applies to brokerages and RIA, said and done, very simple, But unfortunately, they put a thing in that just has terrific consequences to the brokerage and how they can deal with their clients and so forth, and will badly hurt their clients.
And it's not going to help, and it wouldn't have stopped a Bernie Madoff.
No question.
Which is what they've reacted to.
But you know, the point terrible. Of all of it, yeah. you know, they go overboard on regulations.
Right.
You know, they have a good idea and they overdo it. Anyway, so much for philosophizing.
You know, Dodd-Frank was supposed to stop too big to fail, and now what's happened? All these community banks have failed, and the big banks like J.P. Morgan mm-hmm. have gotten much bigger.
Right.
They're swallowing up smaller banks. So, you know, anytime I saw Barney Frank on CNBC this week.
Did he have his purple suit on or what?
No.
he grew a beard. He looks very distinguished now.
Okay.
So, you know, they're questioning him about. You know, whether he's insulted about, you know, making changes to Dodd-Frank. And he said, I just really wanted to protect the people. And, you know, which is just a lot of garbage because all they wanted to do is exert more control.
So, oh, yeah.
Right. You know, and Chris Dodd, one of the authors, was caught getting sweetheart deals from the guy from Countrywide.
Right.
He got a sweetheart mortgage. I mean, how nice
and
is that?
And the other thing with Barney Frank, what did he do? He was the main protector of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who wrote most of the bad mortgages. Right?
Well, that's because they got plenty of campaign contributions from those people.
Yeah,
and that's just the way it is there.
But anyway.
Not just because he's a Democrat. So,
I'm just saying, we had good intentions, but you know what happened? Unintended consequences.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I did want to ask you about a couple of stocks.
Thank God.
Okay.
First of all, NVIDIA, I got out of it and then I got back in.
When it took that dip on the earnings or
I sold it a little over 100, then I bought it back at 104, and then I bought a little bit more back at 108. I've got about 2/3 of my original investment, so mm-hmm. I'm pretty much playing with house money. But you know, now this week they announced their earnings, which are terrific, but you know, I think some people, you know, looked at, you know, selling the news. You know,
I sold the news, and I thought I heard that they didn't like what they said about the upcoming period or something, or they were disappointed
I mean, the outlook is terrific.
Yeah,
but you know, I think it's one of these things where their expectations are so high that I mean they're EPS increased over 100%. Their sales increased, close to 100%. But you know, it's all a question of how fast and how high they can grow. And you know, it's, you get to a point where you just can't grow too much. So much. So.
Yeah, eventually you hit that point. But when is it?
You know? So I'm thinking, you know, that. If it goes down to close to my second by 108, maybe I just get out again. But I just want to know what you thought about.
Well, I mean, I would say the 108, you know, very good support for the stocks. Looks like it's around $100 a share. Okay,
right.
So 100 would be very good support. Now, not me, but I do follow this trader who does this resistance and support thing, and he's done it for 55 years right now. And, you know, he actually runs a service and so forth. And this is one of the stocks, you know, that he mentions in his weekly breakdown. He goes through like 100 stocks on the weekend, and he tells you where he thinks they're going based on resistance and support. And his target is 120 and then 140, you know. And that's technical, totally technical. Nothing to do with the fundamentals at all,
or reality.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm whatever happens. I'm I've made my 110 or 15% on the stock, you know, and I'm very, very happy with that.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So I'm thinking, you know, it may take a pause here, but if it gets second wind, who knows, right?
Yeah, it's and obviously, you know, it would be hurt if there was a big market sell-off or, you know, something like that.
Right.
Yeah, you just got to be nimble. You got to be nimble with something like that because the stock could take off, you know, if the market continues to go.
I want to ask you about one other one, too.
Okay.
Mobileye, MBLY.
They're involved in what, the driverless cars or something?
Yeah, they have a deal with a couple of companies. I think they had a deal with Tesla, and then Tesla had that accident, and mm-hmm. Tesla, you know, got rid of them, and the stock went down. But they recently, about three months ago, signed a deal with Baidu, mm-hmm. which is interesting. Baidu is involved in driverless cars as well, but I think they have several other smaller deals too. But their chart looks like it's going into resistance, but it's moved up quite a bit mm-hmm. over the last few months, and I just want to know what you think of it.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, you know, once again, it's why I always tell people, you know, whether you believe in charts are not mystical, you know, or anything like that. They just tell you human psychology, where people are buying, where they're selling, right? You know, and obviously it gives you a clue. You know, if where people used to buy is not holding anymore, it says the buyers may have changed their opinion on this stock, whoever the buyers are. So the interesting thing is when this thing got up to what, 51, came all mm-hmm. the way down to 34, 35, it was right in support. You know, if you look way to your left, it was right at old support, you know. And then bounced off that. It gave a buy signal at 42, okay. If but the point and figure chart gives a target of 65, all right, which obviously you've got to take out that resistance that's above, you know, which I would say now is anywhere from 47 up to 51 would be the resistance.
65 would be great. Yeah, I'm in at 38, and I was thinking of buying more. If I bought more, what price do you think that should jump in a little bit higher than what it is now, like 44, 45?
Let me take a look at the line, you know, the line chart on the thing real quick.
Close at 43.32 for those.
Right.
Not aware.
I mean, really, right now, okay, you know, in looking at it, your support was probably, first support, believe it or not, would be around 42, you know, right under where it is, and then next support would be somewhere around 39. So, I mean, I don't have any problem with buying it, you know. You know, you could wait for a little bit of a pullback, you know, and you miss it. Well, I guess you miss it, you know, so what, you know. But you know, it gave what is called a volatility buy signal back at looks like 38, right in the 38 area, and it's still holding, you know, on that buy signal, you know.
Okay, so this would be I'm in at 38.
Yeah, well, that was a good point. Like I say, the 39 should be good support for it, you know.
Okay.
So you're in a pretty good position, really, you know.
Okay. One last question, mm-hmm. just a general question. I know you shouldn't be overweighted in any particular individual stock. Do you look at being overweight in sectors? Like, for example, I've got about, like 8 or 9% of my portfolio is in financials. Do you look at that as well as not being overweighted in any individual stock? And if so, what?
Well, if you put, you know, the advisor's hat and all of that stuff on it, right? Yeah, you know, you're supposed to look at that. 8 or 9% to me is not overweighted. You know, I would say, you know, you could be up to 10%. Yeah. In a sector, and that's not overweighting, you know. So
it's not okay.
No, I mean, you know, obviously, if you were 30% in the sector, you're you know, 20-25%. Now you're starting to overweight in that sector. Having said that, you know, if you're good at what you do, you should be overweighted in sectors. If you're a trader, you know, or a person who knows how to handle risk and so forth, right? Then there's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people can't handle that. So for the average person, yeah, I wouldn't be more than 10% in the sector. You know?
Right.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for your advice.
Okay.
No, thanks. Good
appreciate
questions.
The call. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Take care. Have a good weekend. Okay, the phone number's to call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520 or 803-1536. Alternate numbers in case there's a problem. I don't think there is right now with busy signals. The 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324. And if you're still using 800 numbers, it's 800-879-7541. That's 800-879-7541. And while we're waiting for phone calls, we'll take a quick one-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo 854-7541, toll free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Phone numbers to call, 803-1520 or 803-1536. And if you get busy signals in either one of those, you can call 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324. And toll free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to Ben in West Seneca. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm a novice at this, so...
So are we.
No, you're not. I was listening to you when the market was falling, and you warned us, and I lost a lot of money. But I want to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in this IMMU. It's a biotech.
Well, you're a speculator, huh?
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, let me take a quick look.
It went up over $1.
Yeah, it had a bit of a pop. Was there news on that? Or?
Yeah, I think...
Let me see what the news was on that. Because sometimes, you know, you can get some kind of, ruling, you know, on a drug or something, and they pop, and then that it's a pop and then a drop, you know. So, but I guess there was some kind of partnership announcement.
Yeah,
they had.
Yeah, like a merger. I was going to say merger, but partnership.
Yeah,
I think that's why.
Let's see who they partner with anyway. Take
you know,
a look
I
at that.
Remember.
Yeah, take a quick look. Venbio Select Advisor, the beneficial owner of approximately 10.6 million shares, or almost 9.9%, issued the following response to the company's announcement of a partnership deal with Seattle Genetics. Well, that's pretty nice with Seattle Genetics. They're pretty highly thought of.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
The bottom line is whatever this company is that owns 10% is that what the current board says cannot be trusted.
Really?
And their credibility with stockholders has long ago been squandered.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement.
Oh, not too good.
But, you know, a lot of times I've lost money by reading this stuff. You know? I'll be honest about that. You know, I mean, who knows? You know, who these people are, and they say nobody has an unbiased interest. Sometimes, you know,
right.
Whatever it is, you never know what they're up to, right? But you know, in looking at the stock, I mean, it was a nice pop. But you know, you're talking about a stock trading at what five? What is it?
20.
Yeah, 520.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, the stock had been moving up very nicely, and If you look at it, it just broke out above a previous high of many months ago, which normally is encouraging, you know. And Well, not really. It didn't quite make it. 544 is the area, okay? So what you want to do is, you want to see this 544 area taken out first.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, if that area holds as support, you know, sometimes you break out, you come back, you test that support. So the key is you have to get through 544, you know.
Oh, okay.
And you have to close above
right.
it, you know.
Oh, okay. That's when you
And that's when you take a shot, at least a partial position, because then it can pull back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you do is you don't put it all in at okay. once, you know.
Okay, good. Listen, I just tuned in on you when the gentleman called about GSS.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you love speculative stocks there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, right now, you know, he's in it at much lower levels. What did he say? He was in at 17 cents
yeah.
or something like that. So it's okay for him. I mean, I don't think I would play it, you know, for another 10% or 15, you know, whatever, you know, especially a low price stock, you know. You know, only traders would do that, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling.
Bye.
Make sure you don't put money you cannot afford to lose into that stock, you know, and anything that's speculative like that, you know. So you don't want to put a lot of money into something, you know, that you really can't afford to lose.
Right.
You know, I often told people, you know, the bulk of your money that you're trying to grow and protect for the future should be in decent things, you know, when it comes, whatever the decent is. And, you know,
right.
I don't say safe, who knows what's safe, you know, but things that might be considered safer. And you could always take a tiny portion of your money and speculate with it, you know, as long as it's not going to hurt you at
but
all.
But you got to pay attention.
Yeah, but you got to pay attention, you know. Right now, give us a call, 803-1520, 803-1536. And if those two numbers are busy, 803-0321, 803-0323, or 803-0324, we're going to go next to Ron. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Peter?
Yeah.
Okay, I got the phone close to the computer, and I guess it got a little static at first.
Oh, okay. As long yeah. as you didn't get zapped.
No, know. I didn't get zapped.
Right.
But this has been zapping us around the house here. We own EMC, which was purchased by Dell. The new Dell Technologies symbol is Delta Victor Mike Tango.
Delta Victor Mike Tango.
Yes. I had to look up some of those letters. I couldn't remember them all.
I don't blame you, you know, because it doesn't. The only thing I see in it is Dell, D. You know, I don't know what VM.
Okay.
I don't know what VMT is, you know.
Something but, Technologies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Victor. Yeah.
Dell
Technologies.
Yeah, boy.
Well, I'm not sure this is the appropriate question to ask you folks online, other than the fact that I do understand you hold accounts for clients. It's not just you don't just come on this radio and get out.
Oh, right, yeah. We're a brokerage firm and also
a
registered investment advisor where we manage money. Yeah.
So my question is, have you had any exposure to the problems that's been created by this Dell purchase of EMC in regards to how this one determine the cost basis?
Oh, all you do is go to the website.
Yeah.
No, really, and go to the investor portion of it.
Yes.
And they should give you in that investor portion what the cost basis is.
Right. And the other thing is, if you have your stock held at a brokerage firm, depending on when you bought it, it'll be on the statement.
Yeah.
It'll give you your cost basis, or your broker can get you.
Do you have it at a brokerage firm?
No.
Oh, okay.
And this is a stock we've had for a long time. And that always aggravates me, as I've said even here at home. You know, you own some stocks, the next thing you know, you own something else. And you had nothing to do with it.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it didn't hurt you because this DVMT has been going up and up and up and up, right?
I have kind of noticed that, too.
Yep. Yeah, because I thought, how nice this has been. No question about it.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes
You win, sometimes you lose. You know?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I mean, if you go to the website.
Well, I might interrupt on that, too. I think that's part of the problem. We've been there, and I have about several sheets of paper, and boy, trying to read this stuff.
Uh-huh.
I think maybe your answer truly is, without holding on any longer, is as my wife told me, she says, their program is not to answer those kind of questions. They said, well, they're not.
It's okay. But, you can also call the stock transfer company that holds your shares or investor relations of this company, and they'll get you that. It's there somewhere.
Yeah, we did that, too, and I think they're as confused as we are.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. My wife has made those calls, and I don't know if she has anything to say about that. But
all I can say is when I did call in shareholder services, they said they would send me something in the mail because they didn't have any answers when I called.
Yeah.
And that was over 2 weeks ago.
Call them again.
Well, number one, how long ago was this deal done, though? When was it completed?
Last September.
Oh, really?
Should
oh,
have it.
By now, they should know what the cost basis
all right,
is.
Well, you can listen. I'll try and do some work while we're, looking and see if we can find out.
Yeah, because that's what I usually go to, and usually they give you a nice little worksheet and everything, and shows you how to figure it out.
Exactly. So I had our EMC cost basis, no problem, but I told them that, and I still have not heard anything.
Hmm.
And the transaction was such that Dell purchased EMC, and it was partially a dollar amount for each share of EMC, and together with the shares of Dell stock for the related.
Well, here it is. Dell buyout of EMC and issuance of DVMT tracking stock 9/7/2016. Mm-hmm. Consideration received $24.05 per share plus 0.11146 shares of DVMT. Taxes, stock plus cash.
I'll tell you.
It's complex.
They'll tell you something right now. If you go to EMC.com, it says EMC Corporation Tax Basis Worksheet.
Oh, EMC.com.
Yep.
And
matter of fact, I just Googled, and I what I put in the Google was EMC cost basis.
Okay.
And the first thing that came up was a PDF saying, it's a link to a PDF saying EMC Corporation Tax Basis Worksheet.
Okay.
Hmm.
And I just went to Dell, and there's an attachment, which I on my phone. So it may be hard for me to get, but it there is a – oh, here it is here. This is the form 8937 IRS form. Gives you that cost basis. So
I'm trying 8937?
Yeah, you'll see that on any of the links when you're going and looking for it. It's I just can't bring it up here. So.
No, that's right. But we did find that IRS form 8937 when we went down through looking at the tracking stock information investor relations, Dell Technologies. In English, it says. But to read it, it's hard.
Yeah. Well, actually, the PDF I gave you is for something for something different. So forget that. I would go to the EMC.com too and check whether they have it in their investor section.
Okay. Yep. You had mentioned even while we were talking, you looked and you found that.
This was for a different distribution. So, but go to EMC.com, look in their investor section.
Okay. Instead of going through all the Dell tracking stuff.
Exactly. Yep.
We got about six pieces of paper here.
Right. Yeah, that's what I would do.
Okay.
All right. Well, computers are great for finding stuff like this.
Right.
If you know where to go.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Sorry to take up a lot of your time.
No, that's no problem. That's what we're here for.
Helps. Maybe somebody else is out there has the same problem.
It could be. They may call us next.
Okay. What did you say?
Thank you very much for the call.
That was kind of complicated. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very
much. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to go next to Vic in Amherst. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Good morning, Vic.
Good. Chart, if you could look at, please. EEM, Emerging Markets ETF. What are your thoughts with your boxes?
Well, let me take a quick look here. EEM.
You know, emerging markets have trailed, you know, domestic for how long now?
Oh, yeah. Eventually, you know, someday.
Someday they're going to pop. And.
But right now it's interesting because you're right at resistance.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You're right at resistance.
And it came back and touched 200 a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
It's responding real well to the moving averages, which is always a good thing.
That's a good point. You know, it's... People should pay attention to what you just said. You know, moving averages don't mean anything unless they've proven in the past that they mean something by the stock responding to them.
Right.
You know? So in this case, if you find the moving average that it's been responding to, you know, that's good. But you're up right against the moving average. Not the moving average. Right, resistance. Up against the resistance at 38. You know,
I'll tell you another one with the moving average. A textbook for that is Punch in Tech, T-E-C-K. We talked about this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick. I made some little bit on the put side, but I may should have just bought the common. Look how that thing's been bouncing off.
Oh, amazing.
Huh?
Yeah.
Makes you sick. I mean, what a beautiful chart.
Oh, yeah.
You're a big, you're regular Barron's, right?
I mean, I always look at it. You know, the major reason I look at Barron's, to have something to say on the show.
It's got big print.
Well, there's a couple. They give you ideas.
They do, and a lot of times they point out things you may not be, you know, like matter of fact, they talked about bank loans, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you learn some things you didn't know, you know.
I buy it in spurts. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll go 3-4 weeks. You know, I'll get hot on articles I like, and I'll buy it, and then I'll get a week where I don't, and I'll skip it for 2 months. But the column I write, and this guy's been writing regularly for them, is that Sears, the options guy.
Mm-hmm.
You read him regularly?
Yeah, I look at it every once in a while. Yeah,
he had a line last week's Barron's, and I thought of our boy, the silver bug, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, the VIX is where money goes to die. I love it. The VIX is where money goes to die.
Well, if you look at that chart, what is it, straight downhill for years? You know,
buying call options on the VIX as a strategy. I love that. All right, guys, good show.
Appreciate the call.
Take care.
Thanks.
Good way to come down to the end of the show. Okay, we have time for maybe one more call, 803-1520, 803-1536. And... They won't be busy, so just try 803-1520 or 803-1536.
I lost track.
But it's interesting. You know, people should pay attention to, you know, how people look at things. You know, like he brought up the moving averages,
yep.
And I said, yeah, there's no magic to a moving average. You know, like, oh, my God, it's at the 50, it's at the 200. But if you do pull up a chart and you say, boy, a lot of times when that thing got near the 50, it bounced off it and mm-hmm. came back up. So you say, well, maybe again, you know, once again, protecting yourself. You say, if it drops so much below it after I buy it, then I might change my mind.
Right.
You have to have a plan, which you always tell people. You have to have a plan.
And it could be one thing in a plan that you have, one of the things that you do check. And
well, Jason just came on, so we'll talk to Jason real quick. You got 4 minutes.
Oh, no.
Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
Okay.
I don't buy options on the VIX. I'll actually buy VIX or UVXY and sit on it. And yes, it had a downward track, but if you guys think that this Dow is just going to continue to rise and rise and rise off no fundamental basis, then go ahead and lose money like 2008. But I just do my daily work, and when that finally pops, silver goes up, that goes up, I cash in and buy real estate. And to Victor, if you ever had an original thought, it would die of loneliness.
Oh, jeez. We're going to have a battle. Thank you for that. Yeah, he left. Okay, we're going to go quick to Dan. Good morning. Hello, Dan.
Yeah, good morning,
Yeah,
guys.
I got 3 minutes.
One quick one.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of CLF?
Well, unfortunately, I stupidly sold it. So, do I make mistakes? Sure. Do I, you know?
Well, I mean,
nobody's
knows,
perfect,
right?
Right?
I don't know. It looks to me like Basic Materials. Maybe.
Well, they had fantastic earnings, you know, that came out, and then you notice the whole Basic Materials group took off again.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, originally I bought this somewhere. Yeah, it was a trade. You know,
yeah,
it was going to be somewhere in the 9 area. You know. And for a move to 11, you know, which it almost did, you know. Unfortunately, I lost my patience with it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And could I bought it? I don't know, several weeks ago.
Close at 11:15.
Well, I'm thinking more longer term. I mean, you know, I'm wondering if the basic material sector may be starting to
No, there's no question. I mean, I looked across the different steel stocks and you know, a lot of the other material stocks, and they've moved very nicely. And I would say, you know, this move at a minimum, you know, should probably go up to the 13-14 area.
Okay,
next. All right. And don't forget, this stock used to be a lot higher years ago.
Yes, yes.
So you could be just catching this in one of the first moves in something that could be major.
You know? So what would you do in this? Would you wait a little bit first to see how it reacts at this point, or what?
Well, I mean, right now, if it truly broke out, you'd say 10.5 is support for it, okay?
Okay.
Believing that, I'd buy a half position and then watch, you know.
Okay. I don't know how much time you guys have, but looking at the sectors in general, if you look at SLX, what do you guys think of that?
Well,
if you don't want to go with one particular one.
Yeah. If I look at SLX, and it'd be very quick because I have 1 minute here.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah.
There may be another one just to wait a few weeks to see how it reacts.
Well, look real quick. I guess I'm not going to be able to get there that quick.
You doing the right one?
Yeah,
XLF.
Looks beautiful.
There you go.
Looks same type of thing. You know, matter of fact, it would break out, you know, just a little bit higher than where it is right now.
Okay.
Probably up around the 43 level. It's right up against it. A little bit higher, and it looks good.
I'm going to watch it then over the next couple of weeks, see how it reacts.
No, it looks very good right now, yeah.
Okay,
if
great,
it breaks out above 43 nicely with volume, I'd be a buyer.
Excellent. Have a great weekend.
Okay,
guys.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy
for calling. Okay. Thank everybody for listening to the show. Thank the people who did call in. Till next week, you know, keep a little powder dry, as Will had always said, for opportunities out there, and take care.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.